You're listening to SBS Spice. Find what's making South Asians tick or ick with Suhaila and Dilpreet on the SBS Spice podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, listeners. I have to say, for this story, I kept calling it Disco Diwane. Those who know. But it's daytime Diwane. It's the new theatre production happening at Riverside in Parramatta. I've got one of the actors. Unfortunately, we don't have the other half. We've got Ashan Kumar, who's playing Sadiq. Daytime Diwane is more so about daytime ravers. So, of course, Ashan will walk us through, but to the best of my knowledge, it's kind of an ode to how British South Asians used to party back in the day in 1990s, because they weren't allowed to party in the nighttime. Brown family represents, so they did it before 6 p.m. That's the show. We'll chat more about it. Ashan, welcome to SBS Spice. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you for having me. This is a massive opportunity. Thank you for letting me speak.
So the play drops us right into 1990s London, a world of daytime raves, Bhangra beats, and brown boys figuring out who they are.
That's it.
When you first read the script, what struck you about daytime Diwane that captures the mix of rebellion and belonging, especially as a South Asian person?
Yeah, it's a beautiful piece written by Azan Ahmed, who knows that time very well. He's a Pakistani Muslim man himself. His father grew up during that time, so he's got the real testament of the stories. So it's about what it is to be a brown person in a different country, a country that's dominated by, you know, white people, and trying to find your identity and belonging. Especially during that time, 1990s in London wasn't a very nice period for the migrants of Pakistan and neighboring Asian countries. So it was tough for them. It was trying to find their identity, and they found it through the daytime raves, these clubs that were open from midday to 6 p.m. They weren't allowed to go to other clubs because they'd get denied entry for their skin color. Mm-hmm. And so they'd create their own movement, their own space to dance and to be free, basically, and listen to their own music. And this is actually how it came about, of the Asian garage sort of music genre. People like DJ Ritu, DJ Bali Sagu, you know, fusing old school Bollywood movie classic songs, Chudaliya and stuff like that, and then mixing it with like garage, jungle, drum and bass, and making it like high tempo, sort of cool music. And so then they'd rave to this, and they'd, you know, they'd celebrate both cultures, which was really cool. Yeah.
It's so interesting because sometimes in conservative brown households, partying is on quote-unquote Western, something that a Western culture does. Or especially when I was growing up in India, it's like, oh, no, you know, good Indian boys and girls don't party. That is something that white people do.
Yeah.
And on the other side of the globe, it was actually a mode of sort of liberation, right? So there's so many intersecting stories here. Two cousins in the show, Farhan and Sadiq. You're the party boy.
Yes.
And Farhan is the quiet one.
I am. If you couldn't tell already, I am the party boy.
Did you have to prepare for it? Are you also a party boy in real life? So it's easy.
I want to say it's very well casted. Not to say Ari, don't want to throw him under the bus again, because I roasted him in another interview. But he's a lovely, sweet-souled guy. But the character he plays is like this 16-year-old boy who's just come from school. And he's like, whoa. They're like daytime raves. I don't even know if this is possible. It's like, is this haram and stuff like that? Whereas my character's like, I don't know if I can swear. I can't swear probably. I am allowed to. It's like, fuck the culture, the traditions, the faith. He's more about finding himself. This is a place where we belong, and like really leaning into that. Farhan Sadiq, it's like they're Muslim boys, but one is more strict. And through family, and he's also younger, so he's like less rebellious and more like, I've got to, you know, help my abu and ummi and abu, and, you know, take care of his daughter, his sisters and stuff like that. So he's got responsibility, whereas Sadiq is sort of this lone wolf sort of character who's more about the energy, the raves, the like bringing everyone into this this place and feeling comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I also read that it's about being a good Muslim boy and a proper British man. Mm-hmm. How did you approach embodying that tension without falling into stereotype?
I'm not, I don't, I'm not religious at all in my faith, but the thing was, Azad himself is Muslim, and so we've had a lot of chats with him. He's been quite educational for telling us the practices and all that kind of stuff, and we haven't really we haven't really swayed to the stereotypes, because Azan has kept us quite on track. Even just like the Urdu and the things that we say, because I speak Hindi myself, or like with my family, so it's different. Some words are slightly different, and obviously pronunciations, words like Jumma, Masjid, Fajr, all that kind of stuff. So Azan has really kept us on track, which is nice.
Did you find any overlaps between the British South Asian experience with the Australian South Asian experience while doing the play?
It's an interesting question. I think definitely the music genre was a big thing that was quite different. Funnily enough, we were just talking about this now. The daytime raves in London are now becoming a thing here, almost with cafes, like daytime cafes. People get a coffee and then they're like raving in the daytime. And you're like, what? People would never have heard of that, right? So there's a bit of a similarity. Yeah. I guess it's more just the experience, I guess. I'm first generation born Australia here because my parents came from Fiji. But we're kind of in a nicer time that we're slowly starting to accept, migrants from other countries. Back then, it was really tumultuous time. It's different in that way. It's different in that way. But that's how it's kind of different. But yeah.
Talk to me about the musical language, just extending that answer a little bit. When you were doing the play, because there's a lot of Bhangra beats, I'm assuming, and a lot of like old Bollywood. Do you have a personal connection to that sort of soundscape as an actor?
Well, yeah, as a person, really. Like, I grew up watching these movies which had these classic songs. And so, like, when it comes out of the rehearsal room and I haven't heard them for, like, 10 years, I'm like...
You're having the best time.
Yeah, it's like, it takes me back. It's so nostalgic. And it's really cool to hear these songs mixed with a music genre that I do kind of, like, love. Like, a more modern, contemporary... Well, I mean, even though it was emerged in the 90s, that drum and bass, jungle sort of style, high tempo beat... It's cool to hear that fusion. And it's like, I've talked to so many people when they listen to the music, their body just wants to do that.
Yeah.
They want to jump to it. They want to move to it. It's like such a natural way to like influence the movement.
Yeah.
A lot of like shoulders with the Bhangra and stuff like that. It's been really cool personally learning this style of dance because it's like hip hop mixed with Bhangra.
Yeah.
I mean, we're working with Sharmila. She's been amazing at just teaching us, but also like collaborating with us.
Yeah, she's to how we move.
Yeah. She's mad. And it's like she hasn't come in and been like, you guys need to do this. This is the way that we need to move. It's like, let me see how you guys move, and then I'll tailor it to that, and we can add some moves in there. So it's really been, I've been really looking forward to that. And now having done it, I'm like, wow, it's just been such a mad experience to do those Bollywood moves, but then mix it in with hip hop, make it cool, make it like hip. Yeah. The music thing has been, it's such an integral part into the piece. Mm. And there's just so many tracks that audiences will just click onto and go, I know that, I can sing along to that. But then adding a new sort of the other genre of the drum and bass and stuff like that to make it, keep it fresh.
Yeah,
keep it
I love that. I mean, it's honestly a bit tricky to tell a South Asian story without its music.
Yeah.
But talk to me about the timeline. It is 1990s.
Yeah.
How does the show honor that history while speaking to today's generation who might be navigating identity through new places like TikTok or club culture in a different way?
Yeah, that's a great question. The play is set specifically in 1997. So it was like... towards the end of the daytime rave culture. So it had been going on for a while.
Right.
I think it started in the 80s in London. Obviously TikTok's a huge social media like perspective looking at dance and that kind of thing. And I guess the music is kind of doing that now where like remixes and things are happening. Like people are putting their own twist to the music, which I think is great. So there's a parallel drawn there already of like... That was their TikTok of the times. Like you go to the club and like the music is there doing its thing and you move the way that the music influences you to.
Yeah.
So I guess social media in today's age, people are moving to the remixes and the like electro dance music of the time now. So, but this is cool because it kind of takes you back there and it brings you to the origins of like where that music birthed, really. Yeah. So, yeah, I think that a lot of people can find similarities to it, can relate to it in their own way. So, yeah.
And nostalgia is the currency of our time.
Exactly.
So everyone wants to sort of go down that memory lane.
Yeah.
Feel things that they once felt.
Yeah.
The show, listeners, is about a rave, but it's only the two of them.
Yeah.
Is this the perfect time to give Aryan a call?
Oh, yeah. Shall we try that? I might give him a call, yeah, see what he's up to. He can chat a bit about his side of things, because I roasted his character a lot, so he can roast my character. Where is he? I'll give him a call. Just see if he's busy or not. What's up? Yo, what are you saying, Ruboy? What's good, man? We're here with Dil.
Hi.
You saying? Say hello.
Aryan.
Say hello.
So Ashin has told me that he's roasted your character quite a lot in today's day. And he was like, oh, you know, Aryan is a sweet boy. He's just a sweet boy. He's a responsible kid.
Big heart, big
and
heart.
He's the party guy. Like, come on, you have to have a comeback. I'm pretty sure you're the heart of the play and he's just sort of swinging around, no?
I'm definitely the heart of the play. Ask Kazan, the beautiful writer, you will agree with that.
Okay, so very quickly tell our listeners, why should they come watch Daytime Devane? What does it offer that other plays don't? And what kind of story should they be looking forward to?
Yeah, I think that the play is really interesting. It explores some stories that we haven't really seen much in Australia, let alone the Western suburbs.
Mm.
Yeah, it's really good for our brown people. But I think Azan has also made it really accessible for people that, you know, can't relate as much to the Desi jokes and the stuff like that.
Mm.
I know that my family will be really touched by this, and I'm sure that there are a lot of people in the Western suburbs that will be really touched by the show. Some stuff regarding family and deportation and cousin relationships.
Yeah.
Yes, there's so many themes in the show that are really easy to grapple with.
I roasted you, right, about asking, like, because she asked me what I think of Farhan's character. Do you want to say some things about Sadiq? You know, keep it light, keep it nice, keep it good.
Look at him, he's Come getting on. A feature interview, but clearly that's not enough. He wants more.
Sadiq is really dumb. He doesn't know what he's doing.
Yes.
No sense of fashion, no sense of style. He's lost his direction in his life.
Beautiful. It's amazing.
He's my very protective older cousin. He really wants to look after the family, but he just doesn't really know how to go about it. He's very vulnerable in his heart, but he doesn't know how to articulate his thoughts. He's very clever, but yeah, I think that he just struggles to, like a lot of South Asian people, really struggle to voice their emotions and grapple with that kind of stuff. So
yeah.
I think that there's elements in Sadiq that people will really resonate with as well.
I'm sure. You know, loudest people are actually the most vulnerable. So thank you so
That's
much,
it.
Aryan, for
Beautiful.
Joining us. We're looking forward to the show.
This is SBS Spice.
Cool.
Amazing. It's so wonderful for us also on SBS Spice to chat to a lot of brown people across the country and even like from across the border.
Yeah.
And even though the stories are always really different, I don't know, the undercurrent kind of feels the same.
No matter
if it's about art or fashion or food or music. So I'm very happy to have you here, Ashan, but we are running out of time.
Okay.
So I'm quickly going to ask the last question, which is a bit of a softer note.
Mm-hmm.
At its core, Daytime Devane is about shedding shame, cultural, familial, religious, and chasing freedom, even if it only lasts till 6 p.m.
Yeah.
What has this story taught you about your own relationship with freedom and heritage?
Well, yeah, didn't want to get into that kind of stuff because it's kind of very Sadiq coded, actually, because he's like likes to hide from his problems. But this is a beautiful question. Look, I think the industry that I'm in right now is not a normal path for brown people. It's, you know, it's either the doctor route, the lawyer route, you know, the stable income job.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, the things that we're doing is platforming that creative arts is an opportunity for brown people to share their stories.
Mm.
If not, you know, for the money or for the wealth or, you know, for the stability, this I'm so proud to be putting this story on because it's sharing those stories that are so silenced.
Mm.
And it's like you know, for my own journey, acting was not something that came as an easy option for me. You know, it wasn't something that I thought I can follow through with this, especially beginning the beginning of the journey. It was more like, you know, what can we do? What can we, you know, even my trying to convince my parents, my grandparents, all that kind of stuff was tricky. But once I sort of pushed all that to the side and I said, no, this is it. I've fallen in love with this art form. I followed through with it. And I think that says a lot to other brown people that we can all do the same thing. And we can, you know, platform our voices and let them be heard. And Riverside is another beautiful theatre company that is putting on work like that for brown people, Asian people. So props to them. I would love to work with them again, hopefully, if they have another job with me. But it's been a pleasure, yeah, doing this with
you
them.
You hear that, kids? Getting into the arts is like going to the rave.
That's it.
What's happening.
Exactly. You get to play all these different characters and do whatever you want. So
absolutely. It's a portal.
The world is your oyster.
Yeah. Ashan, thank you so much for joining me on SBS Spice. Thank you for chatting with us. I'm sure a lot of listeners would love to come watch Daytime Diwane, get into a bit of rave.
Yeah.
And maybe be thankful that we can enter the clubs with a bit more freedom in 2025.
Yes.
So it's nice to look back and see how far we've come.
Yes.
Thank
beautiful.
You so much.
Thank you for having me. Thank you very much.
Amazing.
It's been a pleasure.
For more hot takes from South Asians in Australia, find and follow SBS Spice on Instagram at SBS Spice or on YouTube by searching for SBS South Asian. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button.